Willkommen zum Freelancer-Podcast. Hier erwarten dich Interviews, Stories und Tipps für deinen Freelancer-Alltag. Moderiert von Yannick Kron.
On today's episode of the Freelancer-Podcast, my guest was Yuri Lazaruk. Yuri is a freelancer from the Ukraine, therefore this episode is completely in English. And we talked about his work as a community manager and how he got into community managing. And he also shared great tips on building your own professional network. Welcome to the Freelancer Podcast, Yuri.
Hey, Yannick, super happy to talk to you. And thank you for inviting me to your podcast.
I'm very happy that you are here. It's the first ever Freelancer Podcast episode in English. So that's a premiere. And who knows, maybe many more will follow. So if you're international guest, listener, and you would like to tell your story on the Freelancer Podcast, don't speak German or don't speak German very good, you can just email me and we can figure something out. So for today, I would like to speak to you about your work as a community manager. You're a freelancer in that role, and I would like to know from you, how did you become a community manager? Because it's not the most typical job you see.
You know, it's interesting. There is a book called The Accidental Community Manager, and it's written by one of the community builders in the world. And the fun thing is, I feel like 90% of current community builders weren't thinking, oh, when I grow up, I want to become a community builder. So, and it's like rather, I know some people who were doing community building for like 40, 50 years, but it's kind of a new thing, you know, nowadays.
Yeah.
Even though, for example, in the US, it, like, people were building community for 30, 40 years, etc. And it was the same with me. It was a very, very accidental decision, because prior to that, I had an internet shop and I needed some SEO stuff done. And I just delegated it to some company, and I still thank them. You know, at the moment, I was angry at them, but I still thank them for that. And they did a bad job. So basically, I paid them money, but I didn't see any results. And, you know, they told me like, oh, you can't see results very fast. You need to wait like 3-6 months. So I was working with them, I feel like, for 1 year or something like that. And then there were no results. You know, I still didn't have calls, etc. I was like, I'm working with you for so long, I still don't have calls. Like, what's happening? So I went myself to an SEO forum. And I started learning SEO, like how it works, what should I do? And then I understood that they were really not doing really good job. So they were this kind of agency who like works with like big clients and they do everything for big clients. But if you are like rather small clients, they don't really care. So I was the small client. And since then, I started doing SEO for my website myself. That's how I learned SEO. That's how I learned paid advertisement. But the fun thing that I was talking to people at the forum, and then I was like, why don't we meet in person? There are so many people, like they are from different countries, from different cities, but I bet there are definitely people from my city. Like, why don't we go for some pizza and, you know, meet each other? And I've just made an announcement on that forum that I would like to have this in-person meeting. I messaged an admin of the forum and asked like, hey, can you pin it somewhere? Can you make people know about this? And as far as I remember it as now, I had this meeting and 15 people came to just this meeting out of my city. And the funniest thing that two of the people I know who came to this meeting, they were living like in neighbor houses from me. So we were living in the same district, but we never met each other. And that's how it started, you know, like, so it was the first meeting. Then I was like, oh, okay. What about we are doing this in like 2 months, like, and catch up again and go have some pizza, etc. And I don't know where I got this format, most likely from my kind of co-founder, you know, the person who told me that he will help me in the beginning. So we had three speakers. So it was not just usual meetup. It was like three speakers.
Okay.
They come up with their own speeches, so I don't have theme for them. If they have something to share, they have something to share. We have three speakers, we exchange information, we talk, and then we have pizza. So, and that's, then I started using this format for everything, and then I understood that it's community. So basically, I started building communities without even knowing what I'm doing. I was thinking that I'm just gathering like-minded people, but that's exactly what the community is. It's a place, a space for like-minded people to gather, to work through some challenges, to exchange experiences. And since then, the SEO Club became like one of the most well-known communities. I can say like the biggest, but the most friendliest and the most experts, because it was community for experts. It was not community for entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. like just for SEO experts. And people came there to talk on the same language. I'm not talking about Ukrainian. I'm talking on the same SEO language, yeah. you know, where you talk the same language as everyone can understand. And since then, I started paid advertisement community. I started community for marketers. I kind of overruled sales community because another person started it by I become a community builder there. Mm-hmm. And it was so fun. That's what taught me on how to communicate to people, how to talk to people. And when the war started, basically I lost any sources of income because my main sources of income were community meetups because mm-hmm. I always made them paid. It was a good filter. First of all, I could purchase photo, video, I could purchase pizza. Plus, it's a good filter. If you're paying like very small amount of money, like you ensure that good people are there, you mm-hmm. know, not just random people. And secondly, we've built some sales courses. Once again, out of the community. Community yeah. wanted it, we've delivered. Mm-hmm. And I even created a conference for 700 people for sales. And it was like all by accident. Like I didn't know how to do this. I was like making a lot of mistakes and I still making them. So the funniest thing that when the war started, I lost any source of income mm-hmm. Within my country, but I joined the international community world mm-hmm. and it was like super new experience. And I would say that's when my freelancing journey started. Because before that, I would say that I was more like an entrepreneur. So mm-hmm. I was not working with clients. I made something for myself. So definitely I found sponsors for conference. I found sponsors for meetups, etc. But I was doing it for myself. Mm-hmm. And then I started working with clients. And I was like, oh, wow. I thought that I didn't have experience, but I really do have an experience. And I really can do this with different clients. And I have a lot of things to share to them. And I can help them. And we can, you know, like build international communities together. Like, wow, it's amazing. So since that, I was like, yeah, I'm going there. I'm going international. It's like so amazing. I now I have friends like, I don't know, maybe in every corner of the world. So it's just amazing. So
you know, it's interesting. Your job is one of those that new work jobs where there is no real official education for it, or at least I'm not aware of it.
Yeah.
You have to teach that yourself or get into it yourself to work as it, and you kind of create your own job, if you would like to say so. So that's really interesting in your field, and that you have so many different ways of monetizing it. Like you said, you can sell to your community products or services they need in the same space you're building. But you can go, like you did now, make your product as a service, like doing community work as a service, being a community manager as a service. Is this where you met the guys at 9 a.m. and Code Control?
Yeah, you know, at that moment, so my first consultancy jobs were for Cultivators community, is a community in the US for people who want to make changes within corporate organization. We are still working with them, you know, by today. And then I've made an audit for, I would say, the best community for community, but at least it was the best CMX community. Now there are more communities, even better. But then it was my consultancy jobs and I was starting, I needed something more like a full time, more like a longer term project.
Yeah.
And I just started applying to any position. I didn't really think about if it's like employment or if it's like freelancing or contract, whatever. I just started applying for many things and I was active on LinkedIn and telling people out there that I'm open to work. And that's how That's how Laura, who we're working with Code Control, approached me and like, hey, we're looking for a community builder. Like, would you like to go and meet our founder and have this conversation? That's how I met Mark. And all the rest is history. We just clicked. I feel like we clicked from the first conversation and we just started working. And the fun thing that, you know, after being for like 10 years or even more of this kind of having this entrepreneurial mindset, I didn't have an employee mindset. So it's not like I'm waiting for someone to give me instructions or to tell me what to do. So I still remember our first conversation where Mark was like, you're a professional, I trust you. Like, you do what you think you have to do. And, you know, and till today, like, I can't say that he controls me. So we have our like weekly calls, we discuss things, and I still learn so much from Mark as a founder, as a CEO. And you know, our work to now, it looks like more like I'm doing some things and then asking like, what do you think about this? And he's given me some ideas, and then, you know, I took in those ideas and we are doing some more stuff. So it's very interesting. It's very interesting how we do this. And what I love the most about having this contract freelancing job, that I can say anything, anything to any team member. I can say anything to Mark as a CEO. So it's super easy. And if I see that something is not working right, or if I see that something wrong, I can always tell this, but not in the way like, oh, you've done a bad job, it sucks. But in a way like, oh, I, by the way, I noticed some things that we might want to fix. Let's talk about it. Let's see how we can fix it. And also, since 9 a.m., it's a startup. What I love about working in startups that we're really fast. And if we want to do something, if we want to try something, we do it right away. You know, I don't need to get like thousands of permissions. And I really love this saying by Grace Hopper, that sometimes it's easier to apologize than it is to get a permission. So even if I want to do something, and if I asked someone of teammates, but for example, I need to do something really fast, and for some reason, you know, they might be out of Slack or whatever, they didn't answer, I'm just doing it, and then we'll figure it out. So and that's how it works. And yeah, I really love our, you know, collaboration.
Yeah, I feel like you have to give your community manager freedom. If you control every step, why don't you do it yourself? So
usually it's better to do this, yes, because, you know, community is very much about building personal relationships. And either you are a community builder yourself and you build relationships with your community, or you have a person who does that. And it doesn't mean that, you know, for example, that I'm just the one person who people can come to in 9 a.m. They can come to really every team member. So in our community Slack, there is every team member. So basically they can message, they can send a message to Mark, they can send a message to anyone from the team. But I would say that I'm like more visible person. So if they don't know who to ask, they always know that they can ask me.
I see. Do you work for other clients parallel as well, or do you solely work for 9 a.m.?
Yeah, I also have additional clients, but I would say that 9 a.m. at Code Control is kind of like my full-time focus, where I really build and manage the community, where I do day-to-day work that takes to build a community. But for other clients, I prefer working in another approach. So I help them to create a strategy, and I help them to either hire a community manager if they don't have them, or to mentor a community manager. So I'm working more like in this, you know, mentor style approach. So I'm doing more thinking and less doing. And I always try to support an existing community manager in the way of how to communicate with founders, how to communicate with managers, et cetera, and how to get the most, how to get the best results out of the community they're building. So I'm more like a mentor style, you know, consultant in that way.
Because I was thinking about that, the context shifting between multiple permanent community management gigs, I would think is very, very hard to always think, okay, that this is that community. People there are have a totally different mentality. Maybe that's a finance community. It's more conservative. That can be very hard. So I would think if you did multiple permanent gigs, so this is how I understand that, how you do it. You do one permanent one for 9 a.m. and the others are more like time restricted with an end gigs. Is it right?
Yeah, I would say yes. And what is really good in this, something that you can't do, you can't work on many communities all together.
Yeah.
Because it's still about relationships, it's still about talking to people. And in 1 year, it was the first year of working with Code Control, I even tracked every task that I'm doing. And out of my daily tasks, near of 60 or 70% of what I was doing, it was communication with people. So it's not that many backside work. You do mostly all this backside work in the beginning, but the most part is talking to people, is to get in, understanding their needs, understanding how community helps them, you know, to delivering company values to them and trying to align what people needs with company values, trying to connect these things. So yeah, it's just super time consuming. And what I found that I prefer to focus on one thing, but I still can help others. I still can help others and we still can talk together. And what I'm always telling to every startup founder, to every company I'm working with, you have to have a dedicated person with a title community manager. Because if you want your social media manager to do community work, it won't work because it takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
And when this person, when you have this person, it means that you can really allow someone to be on front of your community, to be someone who people can talk to, who people can share their challenges with, someone who people can build trust with. Because at the end of the day, as I'm always saying, that community builder is a glue, is or a bridge between company, between teams and your clients and your community members. So it's a person who connects them. And it's always good. And I have this joke that I always share to 9am Code Control team. Like, you know what? If something going wrong with our members, I'll be on their side. So I definitely, it's more a joke, but that's something that I have. Like, if our community members are not happy, maybe we're doing something wrong. Sometimes there are just angry people. Yeah, for sure. So I have to talk to them to understand, like, what's the matter. But sometimes we might really do something not that right, or we can do something better. And that's how we learn. You know, so we are not doing everything just how we feel it, but we always have this constant feedback from our, let's say, even clients, because members of 9am community are people who are using 9am platform. At least they sign up to there, because otherwise you can't join it. So we need to know what their needs are and how we can deliver them the best. And it's one of the values of community. You have access, you build trust, you build a safe space, and you have access to a real, real life feedback. And it's the best thing that you can have while building a product.
How do you deal with angry community members? Maybe, I mean, in the end, there's a product behind that. It's not just people getting together and exchanging. It's a product. And if someone is angry with the product, I would imagine maybe because you are kind of the face of the company at sometimes, they go to you. How do you handle situations like that?
Yeah, you know, it's always to understand and what is the real problem. And if something really doesn't work, sometimes people do not understand how it works, which is also good. First of all, I can explain it to them and then like, oh, yeah, now I know it. And secondly, it's a good understanding for us that, oh, our customers may not understand how it works. Maybe we should rework this flow. Maybe we can make it more understandable. If something really doesn't work, if there is a bug, it is a bug. You know, there is a saying like call shit. So if something isn't working, I'm like, oh my God, yes, it doesn't work. I already passed it to our product team. They are working on it. Thank you very much for highlighting it. We'll keep in touch. And the moment our product team fixes it, I'm going to this person like, hey, we fixed it. Please try if everything is okay. So I never approach people, you know, like, no, you suck. You know, like when kids fighting, you suck. No, you suck. No, you suck.
Then you wouldn't be a good community manager if you would do that.
Yeah, but sometimes people like, you know, oh, they're saying bad things about a company. Let's ban this person. Yeah, maybe they're not good for our community. So it's all about having this conversation. It's all about understanding why they're angry, why what they didn't like, and to acknowledging it that, yeah, maybe it's our fault. Maybe you are right. Yeah, let me check it. And I remember, you know, I didn't have many angry members. I would say that I had like two or three conversations of that kind, like out of thousands of people that we have on a platform. But I remember one person was very, very angry. I don't remember why, but somehow either it was too many marketing emails or they couldn't find a job
There's always someone, right? If you build products online, there's always this one person that thinks doesn't agree with the way, or there's always a situation. But if you do your work right, I think you can stop situations from getting bigger.
We always handle on it, so we don't have angry customers. So that I know them, or they talking shit about product in colloquies with other people or openly. So there are not all these people. And talking about this one angry person who was very angry for some reason. And at the end, almost closer to the end of our conversation, he sent me a message. Oh, yeah, by the way, sorry for being so rude, etc. I didn't mean to. So it was their initial reaction, you know, like when some people, when they don't like something, or maybe they were searching for a project for 6 months and they, you know, like out of nerves, etc. And you were just like this final point when they're like, oh, shit, I can't do this anymore. Like, I will tell these people everything that I think about them. But at the end of the day, it's not about you. It's about something that just didn't work. And the moment you found it out, it'll be easier. So every angry conversation I had was always like, thank you very much for your help.
You have to don't take it too personally when someone approaches you.
It's the hardest part. It's the hardest part for community builders, as people who are working with us. And I would say not only community builders, for every person who works with other people, you don't have to take it personally. Because, you know, there are many difficult things in community. It might not be super engaged, or people might not always attend all the webinars, all the events that you are doing, etc. But understanding that you are still here for them, you are still helping them, and it's not about you if they are angry. So your idea is not to, I'm doing a bad job, people are angry because of me.
Yeah.
But your idea is to understand why they are angry, why they are really angry, and try to help them. And when you have this approach that I want to help people, it's not about me, it's about some things that they have in their lives. Maybe it even doesn't connect with our product. I don't know. Maybe it's not. Yeah. Maybe, you know, they get just bit by the dog or something like that and they are angry. But really try and really wanting to help them, it totally makes a difference.
I see. How do you charge your work? Do you have an hourly rate and you track your times, or do you have a like fixed like a monthly sum that you charge? What do you do?
I usually have an hourly rate for sure. But it's definitely, and it's not a surprise for freelancers. If you're working for a long-term project, your hourly rate is going like lower, but you receive this constant project that you can, you know, like rely on.
Security aspect of that,
Because, for example, my hourly rate for consultancy is much higher than my hourly rate for Code Control and 9am. Because here is my team, here is something that I can rely on. Like, it supports me on my, like, basic needs.
Yeah.
And then other things I'm doing, like, more like a side project, I would say.
Yeah.
But still, I can do this. And because I don't have time, so currently in 9 a.m. at Code Control, I know everyone. I know every team member. I know what we are doing. I know the mission from within. I know how every team member feels about what we are doing. So, you know, it's more like a family. But when I'm working as a consultant, usually I don't have time, you know, to build these relationships as a family. And definitely I have to do things really very fast. And yeah, people pay more for that.
Yeah, makes total sense. So the security aspect of knowing that you have a base income from that gig and you don't have to look for new jobs and consultancy jobs every month or every X months, you definitely can drop your hourly rate for that. And I think that's good advice for freelancers, that if you talk to clients about prices and they can guarantee you X amount of work, it's totally fair to say, okay, I go lower with my hourly rate.
Yes, totally. And what I really love about our work with 9am that I know that if you're working with some clients, they are not allowing you, you know, to, if you're working like kind of full time, they're not allowing you to be vocal, to be a personal brand, etc., or you don't have time. And what I'm trying to do, I'm still building my personal brand on LinkedIn, you know, and I'm always trying to include 9am and Code Control in what I'm doing, because first of all, I'm sharing my experience, but secondly, I would love to give it back, you know, so because my personal brand is very much connected with projects I'm working on and with the team members that I'm working on. I would love to highlight them. I would love to say out loud about what we are doing and, you know, like, who knows what connections it can bring to the company in general. So, yeah.
Great. I think freelancers can very much learn from you in many ways of community building and stuff you do. Because networking is such a big part of our careers, right? Getting clients is... networking is so important for that. And a huge part of what you do is networking and having good relationships to people. What is advice that you would give to freelancers about being part of a community or having an active community?
First of all, having an active community and being a community, let's say, founder, it's a full-time job. Okay. So, you know, you have to be there. You have to know people there. You have to talk to them. You have to check up on them from time to time. You have to do some activity sometimes. And there is a lot of back office work that people don't see. Because when someone is asking a question, for example, and sometimes you know people who can give answers to those questions. But it doesn't mean that those people saw those questions or that those people have time to answer. But if you send them a personal message, hey, by the way, we have this question in the community and I feel like you are the best person to answer this question. Would you mind sharing your experience with people? People are doing it. So sometimes you even have to do that. And that's what people do not know about community building. There's really a lot of background work that it's not on the surface. And if you are a freelancer, if you are creating your community, be sure that you'll spend at least half amount of your working hours building this community, at least in the beginning. Closer to, I don't know, 3-5 years, it might work without you, almost without you. But the easiest way to network is to be an active part of the community. It doesn't mean that you have to attend all the webinars of the community or attend all the in-person events or always send in hundreds of messages to other community members. You can just start being super easy. Like if you have a question, just ask it. If you see somebody else ask a question, if you have an answer, just share it. If you know a person who to tag, just tag this person.
Yeah.
It's super simple. It takes you like 2 minutes, you know, of your time. But people will see you. And at the end of the day, if they will see you, they will like, oh, this person is super helpful. This person is always asking questions. I would love to connect with them. And you'll be surprised, but you'll see messages. Hey, I saw you in the community. You are an active person. I would love to meet you. Let's go to a coffee chat. That's how it works. So basically just, and many people, many freelancers who I'm talking to, they're telling, start with giving value without any expectations. So just give value back and yeah, you'll build your network. It's a super easy way. And very similar thing that I'm always talking about, being active on LinkedIn. So first of all, if you're a freelancer, you have to be there. Most likely a ton of your clients or potential clients are already there. And once again, if you can create content, if you are a good podcaster or you shoot great videos or you're just a good writer or you know how to use ChatGPT, you can go and write your posts. But you don't have to make it your full job unless you want it. You can just go follow people you are really interested in. If you see some thought leaders, that they are sharing some interesting things, because trust me, they also want to attract clients. And most likely their audiences, if you are doing the same thing, most likely their audiences are your clients. So if you are active in comments, first of all, you help those people to build their audience. First of all, those people will see you, and at some point you can even connect with those people. But all other people who follow this person will also see you. And without posting yourself, just by adding meaningful, but I'm like, it's very important, meaningful comments.
Yeah.
You know, when somebody's sharing something like congratulations or something, it's not a meaningful comment. It's just a random comment.
Absolutely.
And sometimes I know that they are even pre-written answers.
Yeah, so when you're GPT, you can always see if someone uses that to answer LinkedIn posts. And
so yeah, exactly.
Other people thought it's a great strategy to do it at scale, and it's just very it doesn't look good if you can identify that.
And it also may work. But if you go through a post, and first of all, if you learn something, if it sparks some thoughts from your side, if you want to share some of your experience and you are helping other people to also learn, and you are creating a conversation that might help you to learn even more. And people will notice you. You know, the more you are active in this way, people will see you. And that's how you build your network. You don't have to, you know, be this person who send cold DMs like, hey, I'm this, I'm the web developer, or I am designer, or I'm a community builder, I'm doing these things, let's connect. Nah, it usually doesn't work. People hate those requests. But if you're connected with someone, if you were with someone in their comments, and then at some point you send them like, hey, I really enjoy what you are doing. I really enjoy your writings. Like, you helped me to spark many ideas. By the way, here is one thing that might be also helpful for you. So let's connect. I really want us to continue this journey together. If you just come in from this perspective, you know, just shouting out people, just telling them that you really enjoy what they're doing and that you see them, that you hear them, and that you want to connect with them because of that. Not because you expect them to work with you, but because you really like what they're doing. It builds a great network in the future. And at some point, why I'm telling to freelancers that you have to build your network not only with recruiters or potential clients, but also with other freelancers, because you can learn, and that's what you've told me on our podcast that we had with you before that. That when you're going to meetups with freelancers, you learn freelancing stuff and you learn how to do it better from like freelancer perspective. So it's totally different from your clients' meetups. And it's totally good. You have to really connect also with freelancers. And at the end of the day, at some point, they might have a great project for you to work on. And not because they don't want to work on this project, but because they're busy and they want to help other people. And they will refer you because they know you and you have those relationships. So it's also a great source of receiving new projects. Without even trying to receive projects, just by connecting with other freelancers. So,
And it's always quality over quantity, right? The approach you mentioned, commenting other people's posts, it's a very introvert friendly one, because you don't have to really approach people. You just add your expertise to their thoughts on LinkedIn. And whenever I read the comments and just read very basic, like you said, congratulations. It's not giving expertise. It's giving, okay, I just wanted to add comment. And if you don't have to say something meaningful, I mean, if it's just a birthday, congratulations, I think it's fine. But if you, in general sense, if you don't have to add something meaningful to the conversation, it's, I think it's better to don't add anything, because in the end, it's your personal brand as well, right? What you text there and what you write is the thing that people will link with your brand, your name.
Yeah, yeah, totally. It definitely has minuses, but also, you know, if you are doing this totally unmeaningful comment, most likely you help just to make reach of the post bigger, mm-hmm. because that's how LinkedIn algorithms work. But if we're talking a little bit of egoistical, you don't do anything for yourself, and you even do just minuses for yourself.
Yeah, I think many people are aware of that LinkedIn game, and that the comment people write is, so they hope you write back on their post a comment so they have more engagement. I think it's the game. I understand it's the game, and
they will do it.
The player,
they will
hate
do
the
it.
Game, so but yeah,
they will do it if you write a meaningful comment. They will definitely go to your post, and they will definitely add meaningful comments to your post.
Yeah. But it's the comments lack in depth so often because of that circumstances, right? That's sometimes it has two sides. That kind of approach, but I see what you mean. Yeah, that are very good tips for freelancers. Yuri, I have one final question for you. That's a question I ask all my guests, and you are the first one answering, like, or getting it asked in English today. What is your ultimate tip for freelancers if you have to summarize your whole experience in freelancing and business to one ultimate tip?
I would say that I learned it not just by being a freelancer, but just by, you know, going through my life and what happened recently 2 years ago when the war, like the full scale war started. So no matter how many stuff, things you have, like apartments, clothes, mm-hmm. like etc., whatever, doesn't matter at all, because you can lost those things overnight. Mm-hmm. But if you have amazing people around you, if you have good friends, if you build a strong network, you will always survive. You will always thrive. Everything will be amazing. So build your network. And I use this word always, friend work. Mm-hmm. And not in a way that you approach it, that I build my network to get projects. Mm-hmm. But in a way that I'm curious about other people, I want to help them, I want to bring value, I want to learn from them. If you have this curiosity and you build these authentic connections, you'll always have projects. Mm-hmm. And secondly, you'll have an amazing friends and you'll make your own life better.
Mm-hmm. I really like that one. I think you can feel if people approach networking with you with a more honest approach, and not like, okay, I see you as a resource in my network, and if I keep in contact with you, someday there will be a project from you. And I think we are humans, we should have meaningful interactions with each other, and nobody likes being viewed as a business opportunity.
And you know, very important thing, so I have some people in my, okay, I'm talking about the word network. Mm-hmm. So friend work, it's a little bit like inner circle, but network, like people I know in general. And some people are coming up in my DMs, in my messages, personal messages, only if they need something from me. Mm-hmm. So only for that. They never care about like what I need. They never care about like having just a usual coffee chat, whatever. Mm-hmm. They always come to what I... And I know those people.
Yeah.
And it's not like I'm not helping them. Mm-hmm. But I'm spending like the least amount of time possible to do this. So I just give any answer. Most likely it will be helpful answer. But I don't really spend time on that. Mm-hmm. Because I know that this person wants to use me. I still help you, but I'm not spending a lot of my time on you. But if I'm having a friend work, if someone from my friend work is messaging, someone that we have coffee chats with, someone who we are constantly having some conversations on LinkedIn here and there, etc., about life. I'm not talking about professionals. But if someone from my friend work asks me for their help, I'll do my best to help them as best as I can. And it totally means a lot, you know, like when you're helping your friend or you're helping just a random person.
Yeah, absolutely. No words to add to that. I fully agree. Yuri, thank you so much for being here, telling me your freelance story and providing all that great tips. I really, really enjoyed it.
Yannick, thank you very much for the invite. And I'm super happy that it was the first podcast episode in English.
Yay. Let's hope many will follow.
To many, many more English episodes to go.
Yes. Yay. Where can my listeners find you, get in contact with you, work with you?
The easiest way is definitely LinkedIn. And I feel like I'm the only one, Yuri Lazaruk, who you can find on LinkedIn. So just go there, just search it. At least I didn't see anyone else. So you won't miss me.
To make absolutely sure, I will link everything from you in the show notes so people can go there. If you would like to expand your network beyond Yuri, you can join our freelance group on Facebook. It's called Freelancer Kooperation und Austausch. It's linked in the show notes down below. Thank you so much for listening and see you next week. Bye.